to allow about 60 people in their house tonight. Who lives here? Why don't you guys stand up? Who else is in here? Where's Rosie? There's Eddie's over there. Okay, so I tell you, you could go through the kitchen over there. Pete, you need to help her. Over there. Kitchen. Through the kitchen. Okay, well. All right. It's all right. There's many roads to Chicago, let me tell you. There's only one way to heaven. All right, so once again, I want to tell you it's a great privilege for me to be here and to have the chance to share God's word tonight. Couple things that are coming up. Number one, tomorrow night is more of the same here. At what time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay, please try to get here early because there's so many people in here. It takes a long time to everybody to sit down and get all settled in with the translations and everything. So try to get here early, okay? Then another thing is the first Sunday of the month fellowship we have at the Ibera Suites is this, Embassy Suites. We keep changing hotels. What's the latest? At the Embassy Suites. Embassy Suites at 5 o'clock on September the 1st, isn't it? September the 1st. And that's the last day to sign up for the boat cruise that we're going to have. All right. So if you need a flyer, see your fellowship coordinator on the boat cruise. Okay. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to sail around Manhattan, hear God's word, eat some dinner, dance, fellowship. So that'll be a nice time. Well, take your Bibles, everybody, and look at... just pick a verse. They're all good. Luke chapter 2. Tonight we're dealing with leadership principles of Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at how Jesus Christ based his life and ministry on God's word. Jesus Christ based his life and ministry on God's word. And to do this, he had to have had a tremendous knowledge of God's word, tremendous knowledge of the scriptures, and great wisdom in applying them. You know, in our world today, not everybody operates like Jesus Christ. Is this true? It sure is. Most people, or a lot of people, don't care about the scriptures, nor do they trust to operate their life accordingly. You know, we have in the news about different religious groups, and they have situations and whatever, and everybody has an idea how to fix this problem or fix this or fix that. But whatever happened to what does the Bible say? That's God's solution in the situation, isn't it? And that's a place that we should go all the time, is we need to know what God says. Men have opinions. Religious leaders have opinions. Let's go to God's word and see his opinion. In the United States, and I'm not sure in other countries, but I would say around here anyway, the prevalent thinking of our time is secular humanism. In secular humanism, man is the measure of all things. Man is the ultimate standard of which all life is measured and judged. Value, law, justice, what is good, what is beautiful, what is right or wrong, are judged and are set by man's standards. This is quite the contrary to how Jesus Christ lived his life. Jesus Christ's standard of judgment was God's word, not the opinions of man. I'd also like to say, before we really get into this, and how Jesus Christ built his life and ministry on God's word, that Jesus Christ wasn't a God-man. He was a man. He had to put God's word on in his heart and in his mind. Sometimes we think, well, Jesus Christ just walked around, took a breath, and all the scripture was in his brain because it was that way by nature. That's not true. His parents taught him the word. He had to study the word, and then by his freedom of will, apply it in his life. So he based his life and ministry on God's word and really was the greatest leader of all time and was God's son. Yet he made some incredible statements and based his life on God's word. And don't turn there, I'll just quote it. In John 4:34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." In John 5:30, the last part B, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." In John 7:16 B, he said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." In Matthew 26:39 B, it says, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus Christ has his own will. He had his own thoughts, yet he based his will on God's will, the Father. He based his life and ministry on God's word. And to do this, he had to have had an incredible knowledge of God's word and the wisdom to apply it. He also walked by revelation. Sometimes we can see certain emphasis in the Bible by looking at the words which appear in it. The words, "it is written," the quote, "it is written," appear 37 times in the Gospels. The quote, "have ye not read," appears 7 times in the Gospels. The quote, "that it might be fulfilled," appears 9 times in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 2, we're going to take a look at Luke. Excuse me for that old joke. Okay, Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. Well, we're going to read at starting at verse 42. "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem." Everybody have it? It's page 79. "And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem," Luke 2:42. "And they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they fulfilled the days as he returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." Jesus Christ was 12 years old. His mommy and daddy left Jerusalem, and he stayed back at 12 years old. "But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey." They left him for a whole day because there was a whole bunch of people in this caravan, probably. "And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." This is a 12-year-old kid. In the Bible, it's the parents' responsibility when they're young to teach the children. And his parents were believers, and I'm sure they did that. But also, Jesus Christ would have studied the scriptures. Verse 48. "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist or know ye not that I must be about my father's" what?
Amen.
He was 12 years old and he knew who his father was. His father was God, and he wanted to be about his father's business. In Bible times, the son basically learned the business of the father. Jesus' earthly father, in a sense, was Joseph. So he would have been trained in the carpentry aspect. But his real father was Spirit God, and he was about his father's business. The son kind of followed in the father's footsteps. At 12 years old, Jesus Christ could deal with the doctors, the honchos, and he knew who he was. He knew God was his father. How did he know all these things? He knew it because his parents taught him, and he knew the scriptures. He saw himself in God's word. We too need to see ourselves in God's word. What do we think of ourselves? Oh, I'm just a nobody. I'm just some guy who means nothing to nobody and I'm no good and I've made a lot of mistakes. Well, maybe we've made mistakes, but what do we think of ourselves? Do we think of ourselves sense knowledge-wise, or do we think of ourselves as what the scriptures say? Jesus Christ thought of himself as what God thought, and the scriptures, not of what the public opinion thought. Many people thought he was illegitimate and he was no good. Jesus Christ got his perspective on life, his identity, and his purpose through the scriptures. So should we. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 16. Here's a good one. And it came to pass, and he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. At verse 17 of Luke 4. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are what? And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How did Jesus Christ know what he was supposed to do in life? One way is, he read the Bible, didn't he? He read the scroll of Isaiah, and he would have known what he was supposed to do. Just as we can read the scriptures, and we can see God's will for our life, here in the Old Testament, this is a quote from the Old Testament, it says very clearly what Jesus Christ was supposed to do. He knew the scriptures very well. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Keep your finger here and we're going to look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Jesus Christ found the place in Isaiah. Those scrolls didn't have the margins and the stuff that's in there today and the nice finger holes you could do to find the different chapter headings and all the chapters. It was just writing. Now, look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Jesus Christ knew the scriptures and handled it very well. Isaiah 61. This is where he got the quote from. Isaiah 61, verse 1. This is the quote. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and what? The day of vengeance of our God. So, that was Jesus Christ's ministry, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, look back at Luke chapter 4, verse 19. Luke 4, 19. It says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Does it say the day of vengeance of our God?
No,
he didn't continue. Why? Because the day of vengeance of our God is in the future. Jesus Christ knew the scriptures and he stopped right at the right place because the day of vengeance of our God is the book of Revelation. So Jesus Christ had a tremendous knowledge of the scriptures and used the scriptures in his life and taught people from the scriptures. We as God's people or as leaders or people who want to be mature in God's word, we need to base our life on the scriptures, be able to use the scriptures on a daily basis in our own life and in the lives of others. So Jesus Christ said this, verse 20, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He was on earth. He was preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. He was there to teach God's word, to preach and to heal. And those guys that were sitting there happened to be at a great turning point in the history of man. Verse 22, and all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not what? Was he just Joseph's son? They thought he was Joseph's son, but he was really who? Are you God's son, or are you somebody else? Are you God's son? Are you God's son or daughter? Or really am I no good? People may think we're something else, and maybe we have earthly parents, we obviously do, but spiritually we are God's kids. What we think of ourselves will play a big part in how we act. We should be proud of who we are in sense knowledge-wise, our families and all that, but it's more than something physical, it's spiritual. Now, look at this. Is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Verse 24, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted what? So they're not really believing him here. Now, look at how he tells them the scriptures to show them something. No prophet is accepted his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when heaven was shut up in 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. It didn't rain. But unto none of them was Elias sent, Elijah, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Man, all of Israel, God could have sent this prophet all over the place, but you know what? Israel was out to lunch. God sent the prophet somewhere else outside of Israel. He's saying in the context, a prophet is not without honor in his own country. Now he's showing them an Old Testament record that teaches something very similar. Look at 27. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save Naaman the what?
Syrian.
And he wasn't even a what? Believer. Man, all these believer guys, they could have got it, but you know what? None of them got it except this other guy who was outside of Israel. So he shows them situations that are similar. Look at his knowledge of the Old Testament. Verse 26, verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, said, thank you, Lord, I will follow you because you are the man. They were mad. Why were they mad? Because he reproved them and then took them right to the word, and they got nailed with the scriptures. They had an opportunity to turn. What a privilege, sitting there face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're looking at how Jesus Christ handled the scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Remember I said it occurs many times in the Bible. It is written. Jesus Christ quoted the scripture. The phrase "it is written" appears 37 times in the Gospels, I believe, or in the New Testament. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Now, let's see how Jesus Christ knows the Word of God. Matthew 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up into the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of who?
The devil.
He was tempted directly of the devil. That's some temptation. And when he had fasted 40 hours and... No? 40 what?
Days.
40 days and 40 what?
Nights.
He was afterward a what? Have you ever not eaten for 6 hours? Kind of edgy sometimes, aren't we? This was more than 6 hours. This was 40 days and 40 nights. Hey, you know, some places around the world, when the people don't get food, they start riots, don't they? People do wild things when they're hungry. Jesus Christ hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "Hey, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made somewhat."
Bread.
Ooh, hey. "Command that these stones be made bread if you're the Son of God." And Jesus Christ said, and he answered and said, "You know, that's a really good idea. I'm going to think about it." Is that what he said?
No.
"I'm going to go home and ask my fellowship coordinator, and we'll do a research project on it. Or let me go home and talk it over with my unbeliever buddies." No, he said, "It is what?
Written.
It is written." When he was faced with something that was off the word, he had it in his mind, and he quoted the scriptures right into the teeth of the adversary. "It is written. It is written, man shall not live by what? By bread alone, but by every word that proceeds where? That's true. We need physical food to live, don't we? But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In case you don't have a Bible, just look right up there, and there it is. The next scripture, too, it kind of changes every scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by... What does that really mean? Is there ever situations in life where there's no bread around? You know, we may live sometimes and there's no bread. But you know, God's promise never fails. Man shall not live by bread alone. We need physical food, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The bread may fail sometimes, but that's how we live. Would you guys think about living for 3 or 4 days without eating? How about that way spiritually? We got to be eating the right way. Otherwise, we get weak. Now, he said right to the adversary, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Let's look in the Old Testament and see Jesus Christ's ability to handle the scriptures. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Remember, he didn't take a pill and had this knowledge this way. You know, he had to put it on in his head. He had to think about it, to study it, to have it right there in his head. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Deuteronomy chapter 8. "The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." Verse 3. "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with what?"
Manna.
Fed thee with manna. There wasn't a lot of McDonald's out there in the wilderness. Wasn't a lot of Seco de Chivo for you Ecuadorians. There wasn't a lot of Burger King out in the desert. "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of what?" Okay, now, let's paint the picture, okay? Okay, escúchame, up here. Now, say we're in Hudson County, and for those of you who are familiar with this, there's a few McDonald's around, right? How many people were in the wilderness? Do you have any idea? Over 2.5 million people, correct?
Right.
Say 2.5 million people at one time stopped in at the McDonald's on Kennedy Boulevard and 31st. Could they feed everybody?
No.
These people, 2.5 million out in the desert, there wasn't no food out there. They had no bread. So man could not live by bread. Man could not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. They didn't have bread. They had nothing, basically, except one thing, and that was God's word. They believed God's word, and God supplied. Man shall not live by bread alone. Bread may be there, bread may not be, but God's word is true. We always have God's word. Now, for those of you familiar with the record in the Old Testament, people were out in the desert and they were freaking out. And they were saying, take me back to Egypt. I don't care that I was getting my butt beat all the time. At least back there, I could eat something. I'm leaving. So people sometimes, when there's needs, sometimes we forget God's promise and we try to make a solution for our own. We take our own way to get that solution. But God is faithful, and when there's a need, we don't get tempted to go off the word, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus Christ hadn't eaten. The devil comes up and said, hey, make these stones bread, then you can eat the whole thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was going to live by God's promise, and he knew God would take care of him. What a fantastic handling of that scripture. Look back at, where were we? Matthew chapter 4. If you're falling asleep, there's water up here. We could do a little water baptismal such thing right here in the middle of the thing. Then we also have coffee, if that fails. Okay, look at Matthew, and I have Jerry Carr's trick up here. Okay, here we go. Wake up. Some of you guys would throw your Bible at me, so I'm not going to do that. Okay, now look at Matthew. Oh, so the devil comes. Jesus Christ quotes the scripture. Now look at this. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up unto a holy city and sets him on a pinnacle in the temple. Verse 6 of Matthew 4. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is what?
Written.
Who's quoting the scripture now?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ handled it in such a precise way. Now the adversary's quoting the scripture. Oh, you know, if you be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they're going to bear you up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is what?
Written.
Thou shalt not what?
Tempt the Lord.
So the adversary, he quotes a scripture, but he twists the meaning of it. He misapplies it. So it's not in just being a scripture quoter, but it's knowing the exact word and knowing how to apply it. For example, say after the fellowship tonight, by the way, it's my birthday today. I am 25 years old and I lied about it. Okay. I'm 49 years old. After this, I want to go and prove God tonight. So I go out on the roof on the third floor, and I know that God is going to send angels, and I'm going to jump off, and he's going to hold me up. And if I did that, I wouldn't be here tomorrow night, because that would be tempting God. Do you see that? And that's why it says here, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, if Jesus Christ would have just jumped off like that. So, Jesus Christ handled the scriptures in a precise way. The adversary twisted them. But there's more there, but, okay, verse 8. And again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give you if thou wilt fall down and what?
Worship.
Did he say, I'll give you a $10 an hour job?
No.
I'll give you all the houses in Jersey City?
No.
Did he say, I will give you all the money in a few bank accounts? He said, all the whole kingdoms of the world I'm going to give you if you fall down and worship me. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is what?
Written.
Written. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Look at how Jesus Christ had the right scripture and right at the right time, had it in his mind, and could say it. We're walking down the street. We are tempted to do things that are wrong. You know, maybe I leave here tonight and I see this beautiful Porsche outside. And I say, man, that would look good in front of my house. I think I'm going to take it. What would be a good scripture?
That's a nice deal.
Right, some of these verses, right? Right. Should I pray and ask God to help me steal it? Probably not. Probably not. But maybe a better scripture is talking about verses about stealing, right? Okay, so we need to know the scripture and be able to apply it. Know the scripture and be able to apply it. Now, let's look at another one. Have ye not read Mark chapter 12? Mark chapter 12. Jesus Christ knew the word of God and handled it in a precise way. Mark chapter 12 and in verse. See, how well do we know the scriptures? Do we spend time studying it so we really have it in the forefront of our minds? Mark chapter 12, verse 1. When we're faced with temptation, do we have the scripture right there in our mind? All right, now watch this. Verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen and went to a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away. So it's about a husbandman and he sends a servant. So it's a parable, okay? A parable here. Now there's a point to the parable. Verse 4. And again he sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son. Now do you begin to see here? The servants got shamefully treated, then the husbandman sends the son, like God and his son Jesus Christ, right? Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come and let us what?
Kill him,
and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Verse 9. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and give the vineyard to another, unto others. So, this is obviously about God and his son, Jesus Christ. God sent prophets and all that. They mistreated him. Then God sent his son, Jesus Christ is talking here, and they were to kill Jesus Christ. Verse 10, watch this. And have ye not what?
Read
this scripture. The stone which the builders rejected is become what? This whole parable is about people rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. The one they rejected, he's that cornerstone. He's that whole foundation stone. He's the most important one. They rejected it. Look at how he brought the word of God right back when he was reproving them. This is a great key in being a leader or in dealing with things in life. Because, you know, I have no right to judge another man, and neither do you. But you know what we can do? When we speak or when we can reprove using the Word of God. And it's a good thing to get in that habit. So Jesus Christ reminded them of the Scripture. Remember, the stone that the builders rejected, the stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Now we're going to look at that it might be fulfilled. I read this at the picnic. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 9. Matthew 12, 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. Matthew 12, 9. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then said he to the man, Stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Jesus Christ was a caring individual. He cared for the man. He healed him on the Sabbath day, not going along with the rules and regulations. Verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself thence, and great multitude followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He will not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Verse 20, A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory. Jesus Christ ministered to that man on the Sabbath day. Just look up here. He ministered to the man on the Sabbath day. He cared about the individual, not the whole Sabbath thing. He had a greater understanding of the Sabbath. Then there's this prophecy. It said that it might be what? Fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, who I have chosen, my beloved. And then from what I taught on Sunday, this prophecy here and this Orientalism shows that Jesus Christ was a caring individual, right? You remember that? He was a caring individual. Jesus Christ read the Scripture, and he fulfilled the Scripture by believing the Word in his life. Here it says that it might be what? Fulfilled. His life was a fulfillment of prophecy. He read the Old Testament. He believed it. He knew where this quote was, that the servant was going to be a caring person. His life was a fulfillment of prophecy. When we read the Scriptures, do we see ourselves in God's Word? When it says we're sons, when it says we have power, do we see ourselves in God's Word, and do we believe it? Jesus Christ had a great knowledge of the Old Testament. He read it and he carried out God's will, and by doing that, he fulfilled the Old Testament. Look at John chapter 14. Our lives, too, can be a fulfillment of prophecy as we carry out the Scriptures. that it might be fulfilled. It is written, he told people, have ye not read? John chapter 14. Jesus Christ read the Old Testament. He had guidance from God and all that, but he carried out the Old Testament by believing it, and his life was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Look here, John chapter 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Who'd like to read this? Okay, Carrie, stand up and turn around. Okay, Victor, gotta listen. Okay, here it is.
John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Jesus Christ prophesied about the future. He said here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall what? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. When we choose to believe God's word and carry out God's will, our life is a fulfillment of what Jesus Christ spoke in the future, about the future in this verse. The same works that Jesus Christ did, we can do also. Is that what that says there?
Yeah.
Does your Bible say that?
Yeah.
My Bible greater says works. That. And also greater works. Both. So he prophesied about what was going to happen. If we believe what he said, we will carry that out. He believed the Old Testament scriptures, and he carried it out. Mark chapter 16. Leadership principles of Jesus Christ, man, it's right here. If you want to lead, or if you want to be a strong believer, you got to be following God, following God's word. Jesus Christ handled God's word in a tremendous way. It is written that it might be fulfilled. Have ye not read? Look here. Where are we going here? I'm talking too much. Oh, Mark 16. Jesus Christ's life was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy as he believed. So can our lives be too. All right, now, Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Don't have to raise your hands, but do we believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
All right, we may believe we're born again, but when we believe regarding him, all the stuff that he did. Now watch this, verse 17. These signs shall follow them that go to church.
No.
That kiss Lance on the cheek at fellowship.
No.
These signs shall follow them that are from Ecuador.
No.
Possibly, but it says here, these signs shall follow them that what?
Believe.
In my name shall they what?
Cast out devils.
They shall speak with what?
New tongues.
Jesus Christ prophesied about people who would believe regarding him. When we believe regarding him, our lives are a fulfillment of this prophecy or what he told about the future. His life was a fulfillment of prophecy, and so is ours as we carry out God's will. Pretty nifty, huh? Okay, now look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just a couple more scriptures and we're done here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Then there's more refreshments in the back there. There's like apple pie and different kind of things. Ooh. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Leadership principles of Jesus Christ. If we want to be a great leader, we need to be a great follower and a great follower of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have to follow his word. Verse 16, it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the what?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that what?
Hear thee.
Jesus Christ, he followed God's word. He followed God's word and was the greatest leader of all times. Leadership principles of Jesus Christ, strong believer, we follow God's word. If we want to lead people to Chicago, we better be going to Chicago ourselves, right? Because if we're trying to lead people to Chicago, and we're going to Quito, we're not going to Chicago. So we need to lead people in the direction of God. So then, how to be a great leader or how to live some of this? Get it so much inside here, man. So much inside that, man, it just comes out. It is written, have you not read, that it might be fulfilled. It's so much in here. Man, it's almost like, you know, I'm Italian. When my wife puts some pasta there, it's like automatic. You got to go for it because that desire is built inside. Well, it's not by nature, but the point is, you go for it because it's a part of you. That Word of God is so much a part of us, you know? And sometimes, man, sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes we face really bad situations, as some of you have. And I saw in a very bad situation when Felix fell asleep, I saw people who were hurting themselves have the comfort of God and go and comfort and love and bring the best out of other people who were just hurting and hurting and hurting. How can we get to the place where we can help people even though we're hurting so bad inside? Man, if we got God's Word so much in here, the easier it is to get it out. Even though sometimes our heart can be broken, there's something bigger than just my broken heart. The comfort wherewith we can comfort others, wherewith we are comfort ourselves of God. I butchered that quote, but that's... I wish you could read it in the original. Jesus Christ built his life and ministry on God's Word. Harbor Light Fellowship, that's a nice name, but it's not about the people. If it ever gets to be about the people, we ought to go somewhere else. You know, start another ministry like the Mi Bandera Churrasco Ministry. Might as well. If it's about people, at least make it on good food. It shouldn't be about... Those of you from Ecuador, you might not get that. Okay, but the point of the matter is, it's not about people, because I'm a person and I got faults. Jerry Carr, Bob Chatton, Lazarus, Michael Miguel, whoever. People are people. God is God. If we're going to build something, let's build it upon the chief cornerstone and not somebody's stupid brain. Do you understand? People are people and God is God. And you want to build something right? Build it that way, because when it's built on a person, it's going to come down, because that person ain't God. And nobody should really want to apply for that position in life. It's adequately fulfilled. So Jesus Christ built his life on God and his Word. As a preteen, he knew his identity and purpose from God's Word. Despite of what people taught, a thought of the contrary, he built his life on God's Word. Although many people thought he was just Joseph's son, he chose to believe the scriptures concerning God's will for his life and ministry. When he was tempted with the devil, he refused to compromise, choosing "it is written" over the pursuit of any immediate needs. He chose "it is written" over the kingdoms of the world. The adversary tried to buy him, but he didn't have a price. His price was "it is written." When reproof was needed, he reproved with the Word. As he walked, his life was a fulfillment of prophecy. He served the Word, and he gave people the Word that God gave him. As Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, will we build our lives, our believing, and our spiritual identity and purpose on God's Word, or will we base it on the world? As Jesus Christ, will we carry out our ministry according to the Word, despite the unbelief of those who are around us? As Jesus Christ, will we reprove properly according to God's Word? As Jesus Christ, will we live our lives to be a continuing fulfillment of prophecy as we believe to do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater? As Jesus Christ, will we give people the words of God as God has given us through his scriptures? Jesus Christ built his life and ministry on God's Word. That was 2,000 years ago, and he redeemed man. Now it's our turn. God moved in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago, and now, ladies and gentlemen, it is our move. Father, thank you for this night and the privilege we have of all being together and hearing your word. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Come on up, Drew Bob.
All right. Well, we've had a good dose tonight, I think, of God's word, and wonderful to have all of you here. Well, tomorrow night, you're welcome to come back if you'd like. I'd say invite a bunch more people, but I'm not quite sure where we'll put them, but we'd love to have all of you back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock for our closing session of Leadership Principles of Jesus Christ. And there are more refreshments available in the back if you'd like to stay for a while in fellowship or get something to eat and drink. We'd love to have you. If we can do something to help you with your walk with God or to help you personally, we'd love to do that too. Steve did mention there that it was his birthday today, so we did have a cake for him, which you can share after. So if Steve would come back up here, we're going to sing happy birthday here.
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday.